Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family: finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. And now, here's Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary and from Maria, and it is a pleasure to be here with you. And this is it. This is the last week of shopping for Christmas 2016. Whether or not you're ready, it is going to be here. Christmas is this Sunday, of course, December 25th. It's a little bit odd. Obviously, it'll fall on a Sunday every 7 years, or maybe because of leap year, it changes it. I can't do the math that quickly, but it gives us that weekend. And actually, one of my first jobs out of college was in retail, and I remember the timing of Christmas, the day it fell, and between Thanksgiving and Christmas, rather, was also very important. Sometimes retailers got a whole entire week extra every year, and that was huge in terms of sales. But as we all know, Christmas is big, big business, and Hanukkah as well. Happy Hanukkah. Hanukkah starts on the 24th of December, so we have a Christmas and Hanukkah coinciding, which, again, is usually pretty rare, other than a year. What was it, last year or the year before? We had Thanksgiving when it fell on Thanksgiving. So anyway, if you are, again, shopping, I wish you good luck. I am still scrambling, unfortunately. I'm actually doing a lot of scrambling online because I like to go shopping when it's obviously not hectic and crazy. And I just love the holidays. You should see my shirt I have on. I have a green and red shirt because really it's the only time of year when you can wear green and red and not get laughed at. But so I'm always festive. I have all kinds of light up necklaces that look like ornaments and earrings. And we just love it, the holidays in our house, as I'm sure you do too. But when I go out shopping, I'd like to just relax and not make it a pressure situation. And that's where I'm usually at with my family. I'm in a pressure situation, running all around, and the traffic is nuts. Again, good luck with your shopping this week. And let me quickly mention two sponsors before we jump into our show. We've got a great guest lineup. We are going to be talking to Shannon Martin, who is going to talk about family Falling Free, Rescued from the Life I Always Wanted. That'll be a great segment. The last segment is going to be Recipe Hacks from Diana Killian. She's going to be talking about her new book, and I love recipe hacks, something that's easy to go with. And we also going to be talking about to popular bloggers who are coming up first. They're popular bloggers behind atthepicketfence.com, and they've written a book called Life in Season, the new book. And we're going to be talking to an expert in reading and education, and she's going to be telling us how to get our kids off the video games and into getting into reading. So that's going to be a great topic. And before we take this at the quick break before our first guest, I want to quickly mention our sponsors. The first one is Mother Nurture at madebymothernurture.com. You can get information on this fantastic new product. It literally just launched. It is chocolate truffles and enhanced waters that are full of vitamins and minerals for pregnant moms or prenatal or trying to conceive. Check it out. Actually, it's a fantastic gift, and it's on Amazon Prime, which is awesome. If you go to Amazon and search Mother Nurture truffles or waters, you'll see the link and the Amazon, the Prime logo. And what a great gift for a pregnant mom to give her some chocolate that's good for her. She doesn't feel bad about eating it. Guilt-free snacks, and these waters are delicious, very lightly flavored, and again, full of vitamins and minerals and nutrients that are important for mom and baby. And that's at madebymothernurture.com. And also athome.com. At Home is the home decor superstore. There's stores all across the country. Go to athome.com to find a store near you. Christmas is 50% off, so get in there and get your stuff if you haven't gotten anything yet for this year, or it's a great time to buy for next year. I know a lot of moms who are trying to save a little bit. That's a great time to buy. So after this quick break, we'll be joined by Vanessa Hunt and Heather Patterson. We will be celebrating the moments that fill your heart and home. It's perfect for the holidays. Stay with us.
Mom's Little Secret. Mom Talk Radio.
Of course, at the holidays, it's always nice to be talking about moments that fill our hearts and homes. I'm pleased to welcome Vanessa Hunt and her sister, Heather Patterson. They are the blogging duo behind atthepicketfence.com. It's a website dedicated to providing a place where women can share, care, and inspire one another. And we love that on Mom Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you
for
so much.
Okay, so you're both moms. You are success. This your website is very successful and popular. You came together in 2010 to create an online community, and it, again, it's called At the Picket Fence. Tell us a little bit about that. Let's start with you, Vanessa.
Sure. We came together as sisters and wanted to kind of connect across the miles. And we had this vision of women who could come outside of their homes and meet at the picket fence line. So really, it's a virtual picket fence. And it's a place for women to come and find recipes and home decor, crafts, DIY projects. And most importantly, just a community where they can feel like they can be known and know each other and find a place to feel like they're not alone in their journey as women.
That's wonderful. I love it. So how did it then transform into the book? Is the book based on the website, Heather?
Yes, actually, our readers started coming to us and saying, we wish we could just bundle up what you put on the blog, carry it around with us, have it in front of us. And so really that kind of sparked that desire in us to give that to them and really increase our reach beyond just the internet, but to speak into women's lives in another way. And so we just started collaborating together and talking, and it's a dream that both of us had to be able to write and have a book, and we come from a long line of authors and lovers of the English language in our family, so we came by that honestly. And so we just started collaborating and came up with Life in Season. So really, Life in Season is a reflection of the blog and an extension of the blog. So it's how we write on the blog, and then people are going to find even more things in the book.
Wonderful. So tell us a little bit then, Heather, keep going with what's in the book. Is it, you said you basically took information from atthepicketfence.com and then added in more. So give us a glimpse of what it would look like, the book.
So really the writings in the book are a lot like we write on the blog. Instead of maybe getting just a recipe, you're going to get a story and a recipe on the blog. And so what we want to do is translate that into the book. And so the book is divided by seasons, and they are the seasons of life that we as women and moms go through, and then also the actual seasons that you're going to find in nature. So the book's divided by the four seasons. And then there are narrative essays just about the experiences we've had as wives and moms in our lives, and just where we have those aha moments and can turn that into a story that's going to inspire and encourage other women and let them know they're not alone. And then in addition to the stories, you're also going to find seasonal projects and crafts and recipes that then you can do on your own or you can do with your children. We tried to keep them really simple. And then that way it's just all bundled up in a book, and you can go through it seasonally and do these projects and read these essays, or you can just pick it up at any time and get some encouragement from it.
That's wonderful. And what a smart idea to do, because it's true. You have obviously the seasons of the year calendar wise, but then moms go through seasons as well. But I love the just the really multi-purposes of the book. You're talking like crafts, and then you're talking just inspirational information and decor tips. It's great. So, Vanessa, how long did it take you to get this together? It sounds like quite a project.
Yeah, we started about a year, well, this Christmas. So it was a year ago last Christmas that we turned in our manuscript. So it's been 1 year since we turned it in, and it was just released. It took us about a year of writing and working with our publisher, and we have an amazing publisher, and they made the process very easy for us. And so it was about a year of writing and doing all our, we do all our own photography, all of our own projects. We write all the tutorials for them. So it was this combination of writing and then also being inspired with the crafts and recipes, and again, making those very accessible. Anybody can do these. These are not complicated things to do.
Yes, you're talking to a very uncreative person. And I was joking with my friend the other day. We were in a store, and she said, I could just make, it was a frame, and it had one of those big, huge Christmas bows, and it was so cute. And she's, I just can make that. And I said, absolutely not. I would never, ever attempt that. So it's for the uncreative like me.
Yes, It's for everybody. And we, our editor, who's hilarious and so wonderful, she said, I don't do crafts at all. So when you write your instructions, write them to me. So we wrote them as simply, and really the idea was just to not make it something that felt overwhelming, but something that would be inspiring. And it's a beautiful gift to give to somebody. And again, it's the heart and home combination, which we believe is very much intertwined in our lives. So.
Sure. So how do the kids get involved? Is it obviously just it's a crafts for kids and tips for parenting, or is it more just, you know, as for women versus moms?
Yeah, I would say most of it is geared towards women, and not just moms, any woman. The stories are not just about our lives as moms. They're really just about our faith journey and what we feel like God has taught us. In small ways and big ways. And so really it's not just geared towards moms, it's geared towards all women. But we like to think that the projects are easy enough that somebody could do with children. And so whether it's a recipe or a craft or whatever, they're very simple. But really it's geared towards anybody who's looking for a little bit of inspiration and encouragement in their life.
That's wonderful. So where can our listeners connect with you both and also buy the book, Life in Season? But Heather?
Well, Adam, they can go and visit us at the blog. We would love it. We don't consider them readers. We consider them friends. And they can do that at atthepicketfence.com. You can also find us on all social media channels as At The Picket Fence. And then if you'd like to purchase the book, like Vanessa said, it would be a wonderful gift for people. They can go to Amazon.com, and it's available with Prime right now shipping. They can go to Christian Book Distributors. They can go to BarnesandNoble.com, and it's also in Barnes & Noble stores. And then there are some small local stores that are carrying it as well. If you can't find it there, you can ask for it, and they can get it in for you.
Wonderful. That's great. And you're right. I love Prime because you could still get it in time for Christmas, as I said in my opening.
Absolutely.
It's almost here.
Yes.
A great, great gift for another woman, you know, in your life, a friend, a sister, mother, anybody, right?
Absolutely.
Correct.
Yes.
Yep.
And congratulations, ladies, on the successful website and as well as the book, again, Life in Season, and the blog website is atthepicketfence.com. And Merry Christmas to you both. And when we come back, we're going to dig back in the archives and shine a spotlight on moms. We'll be right back. This is Mary and for Maria on Mom Talk Radio, and we're shining the spotlight on moms and a very special guest, Claudia Schmidt, who is the mother of two children, teenagers, 16 and 18. And as if that wasn't a challenge enough, Claudia is a breast cancer survivor, and she blogs at myleftbreast.net and tweets at Claudu, C-L-A-U-D-O-O. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Claudia.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. So tell us the story. When were you diagnosed? How old were the kids? What did you do?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed in February of 2010 and found the lump myself. So please, women, be aware. You know, mm-hmm. Do your exams, your self-exams. My kids at that time were 12 and 14, and, they were old enough that it was okay to talk to them about it, but they were young enough that they didn't really maybe get quite how serious it was. And so it was actually, you know, honestly a good time for me. If they had been much younger, it would have been obviously a lot more difficult. We kind of did this together, my husband and I, you know, once I was diagnosed and we knew what was in front of me, my husband and I sat down and figured, well, it's going to be a while. There's chemotherapy involved. There were several surgical procedures that were going to happen. And we knew my kids would know about it because of that. You know, we knew they'd figure it out. I knew I was going to lose my hair. You know, it's always the thing that I think all women really fear a lot. So we knew we had to tell them, and we knew it would be best to tell them in the right way. So we did. We sat them down and we explained it. And I have to tell you, kids are very strong and they are insightful and they were fine. I mean, they took their cue from us.
Sure.
We were calm and we were real, you know, we were very clear in our communication and they were pretty good about it.
What is a typical treatment? And were there any, you know, moments when the kids were just, you know, really scared, and then vice versa when they really, you were scared and they supported you.
To be clear about breast cancer, there's no typical breast cancer. It's right. Everyone is different, and I will tell you that from all the people I know. But my kids weren't really scared. They were surprised and confused at times. You know, as I said, I had chemotherapy. It's scary for kids to see their mother with no hair. Let's face it, that's a scary thing. Mm-hmm. In fact, my son, I told them about it beforehand, and one time I was driving in the car with my son, who was 12 at the time, and, you know, he said, "Well, Mommy, when is your hair going to fall out, and when are you going to go bald?" And I said, "Oh, it's probably going to happen next chemotherapy, because that's what happens after your second chemotherapy." And he said, "Mommy, maybe you'll be the one in a million that doesn't lose your hair."
Oh.
And practically brought me to tears. But I was, you know, I kind of felt so, I was so glad that he got it. And I said to him, "Christopher, you know what? My hair's going to come out, but it's okay because my hair's going to come back eventually." It was, you know, I think you should be honest with your kids. You know, I was really honest with them, and they were really good about it. We tried to keep things really normal. I live in a community where my son at that time was in baseball, and he was doing a lot of summer baseball, and everyone in the community was really helpful and supportive, and all the moms from the baseball team would make us dinners and bring us food, and a very, very strong community. And I think that was really good for my kids to see. I think it's good for your kids to see that, you know, you have people around you, and when something impacts your family, it's good to have the community come and support you.
Well, and it shows that the community's compassion and empathy, and then it teaches your kids a lesson too, because when something happens to another mom down the street, they know that that's, you know, when you step up.
Exactly.
So. What a great, great lesson. So when you went through the process, what tips would you give to moms who are going through the process, or, you know, have just gotten diagnosed? In other words, you said you waited until you knew your treatment regimen, right?
To tell my kids. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I waited until we knew exactly what was going to happen, because if it was going to be just surgical procedures that maybe they wouldn't even notice. That wouldn't really impact them. Like if I just had to have a lumpectomy, I don't know that I would have told them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But given that it was going to be extensive, and it was about a year and a few months, I would tell moms, any moms out there, anyone who has breast cancer, be an advocate for yourself. Read and research. Really rely on your friends. Let your community support you. Don't be the strong mom that we know we all are and you know, say, "I can do it on my own." You can't do breast cancer on your own.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us. And again, you are blogging at myleftbreast.net, where I'm sure you're talking about your journey. And you are five years removed from it.
Five years survivor. Yeah. I'm 5 years out, and everything is wonderful, and life is good.
Great. So glad to hear that. Thank you so much for joining us on Mom Talk Radio, Claudia. And after this quick break, we'll be joined by Shannon Martin. She is the author of Falling Free, Rescued from the Life I Always Wanted.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
Have you ever had your life turned completely upside down? Some people have, some people haven't, but even if you think you have, you've got to listen to our next guest's story. I'm pleased to welcome Shannon Martin. She is the author of Falling Free, Rescued from the Life I Always Wanted, and she also has a popular blog called Shannon Martin Writes. com, and that's Shannon, S-H-A-N-N-A-N. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Shannon.
Thank you so much.
So tell us your story. It is an amazing one. You had a life that you had dreamed of, but it was not what was going to really play out, right?
No, not at all. My husband and I were in our mid-30s, you know, trekking right along with our life, building our family. We were living in our dream farmhouse, which was our sort of indication that everything was right on track with what we had planned for our lives. We had successful jobs in federal politics. Everything was just clicking right into place. And pretty abruptly, God got our attention and began showing us that, in our case, his more was going to look like less. So, you know, over the course of the next couple of years, we both very dramatically lost our jobs. We did feel the Lord calling us to sell our dream farmhouse. We moved into a disadvantaged neighborhood in the nearby city, and our family was built in some very surprising and beautiful ways. We brought our fourth child home when he was actually a young man of the age of 19 years old and serving time in jail. And, you know, from there, everything just continued to get weirder and more surprising.
Definitely. And so you're, just to back up, you said this is all by choice where you left your jobs and sold your house?
The job situation was certainly not by choice. So we were part of, you know, working for sort of the D.C. political machine. There was a lot more at work that we had no control over. So it was honestly kind of when our jobs sort of fell away within 2 months of each other, we both lost our jobs very surprisingly. And it was really just a confirmation of what God was beginning to show us, was that he just had us on a very different path than the path we had planned for ourselves. It was that moment where we began to realize where we thought we had control and where we desperately wanted control, you know, life wasn't meant to be that way. We were not supposed to be in that much control over our lives, and just beginning to surrender to the idea that God's plan for us was going to be different.
Right. And interesting. So again, as you say, that was the first step maybe in the different path you didn't realize you had to take, but you did. So interesting. Yeah. So tell me about the book then, Falling Free. When did you start to write it, and tell us what's in it without giving a lot away?
After we moved to the city and got settled in over the course of the next year or so, so much of our life was changing, and it began to just really kind of shift our spiritual and emotional furniture around. We began to see life through a very different lens and understanding a new love for our neighbors. So Falling Free tells the story of all of those changes that came about in our life in a pretty short period of time, and how we went from living the American dream with the sight of Jesus to surrendering all of our life to whatever God had planned for us.
Right. So it's basically your stories to date, or your journey to date, I should say.
Yeah. Yep. It tells our journey and a lot of the different areas that we began to recognize our need to surrender. So with our desire to have our life be as secure and comfortable and peaceful as possible, God kind of took a wrecking ball to that and showed us that a lot of times he does call us to places of uncertainty and risk. That plays a big part in our story and in our journey. So Falling Free kind of chronicles all of those different areas that we had to begin to let go of.
Right. So when ShannonMartinWrites.com is your blog, is the book also reflecting stories from the blog or vice versa?
Yeah, very much. You know, all along the way, I've been writing our story down. As a writer and as an author, that's really how I kind of process my own life. There was so much change coming at us during those times. My husband ended up working. He's now the full-time chaplain of the county jail. So, you know, every step of the way, it was just like every change that came our way was so unexpected, and we're trying to process this. So very much on the blog and in the book, on Instagram, you're seeing a reflection of the change and the kind of the new lens that we now try to see the world with.
Right, right. So it's, again, the book, you know, an example, let's say, would be a story of some life-changing event for your family, correct?
Yes. You know, our kids are all adopted. They've all got a bit of a different story and a back history. So I talk about, you know, their adoptions, talk about what it's like to have people coming out of a jail being a welcome presence in our home. My kids transferred from one of the top schools in the state of Indiana to what was at the time a failing Title I public school. There's a lot of interesting and funny and really sometimes sad stories about a lot of this, you know, this kind of new world that we encountered when we left the bubble of our really safe and secure, comfortable Christian faith and just stepped into a little bit of risk and a lot more surrender.
Right. Interesting. Would you call your family, or you and your husband anyway, because you started the journey and your kids are, you know, obviously sharing it with you. Would you call yourselves brave, courageous, or?
I don't know. We haven't felt very brave or courageous along the way. You know, I think my faith kind of shows me that when I'm feeling nervous and uncertain, that God is kind of the courage for me. And I think that's the best way that I could kind of identify that, is I don't see myself as a very brave person. We did a lot of, you know, we entered into a lot of these changes kind of kicking and screaming and crying and scared. And but, you know, he gave us just enough courage to kind of take that next step. And every step of the way, we've just been so profoundly grateful that this is the story he wrote for us.
Right, right. Well, congratulations on the book. Again, it's called Falling Free, Rescued from the Life I Always Wanted. The title is great. Can you tell our listeners where they can find the book and more information? And you can give your blog as well.
Sure. You can find Falling Free really wherever books are sold. So Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the Christian bookstores. You can find a lot of information, including the book trailer, at fallingfreebook.com. And again, my blog is shannonwrights.com.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck. And when we come back, we're joined by Dr. Colleen Carroll, who's going to tell us how to stop nagging our kids and get them to be better readers. We'll be right back.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
This is Marion for Maria on Mom Talk Radio, and I'm pleased to welcome Dr. Colleen Carroll. She is a writer, speaker, educator, and coach to parents of struggling readers and kids who won't put down the video games and read. And that is actually very relevant to me in my life. And I think, too, it's very relevant to the holiday break most kids are gonna have in the next couple of weeks between Hanukkah and Christmas and New Year. So very relevant topic. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Carroll.
Thank you so much. Very glad to be here with you today.
So you're an expert, a recognized expert in reading for over 20 years. Parents need help. You know, there's so many screens that interrupt quality reading time. So, and your mantra is stop nagging, right? No arguing, no nagging. Give us a quick tip or two.
Sure. Well, yes, you're right. I mean, digital devices have really taken over our world. And while I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, what's going on is they're really getting in the way of our children reading and reading books and magazines and other healthy pursuits. So one of the things I work with parents on is how can we not totally take away digital devices, but how can we give them their place in our world that's due, and also bring in books and healthy pursuits and have our kids reading more. One quick tip on that, for example, is to let digital devices be a privilege in your home instead of an expectation. I think nowadays everybody has so many different toys and tools to play with that what happens is they just become something that we do constantly. And parents who are successful with getting their kids to read more are using digital devices more as a privilege. In other words, you can go on your iPad if you help me set the table for dinner, or you'll get an hour with your video games, but I'd love to see you have your homework finished first and you do 20 minutes of silent reading. And that type of conversation with their kids and even setting those expectations up together is really more successful in homes and stopping those digital devices from taking over.
Right. So you said you have three simple ways you can help your child pick up a book and read it without even talking about it. That's the thing. And you're right. It's the nagging and the constant. Can you put that phone down? Can you put that iPad down? You know, so what other ways would you suggest? And do you actually recommend timers too, in terms of, like you said, if you do one task, you can, but timing the screen time?
Well, I recommend, again, using devices as a privilege, because that's really what we're telling kids. If we're giving them the proper message, we're saying, look, this is fun, and this is something that isn't the healthiest thing for you, but, you know, it should have its place in our world because that's modern society. So while I wouldn't say you have to stick strictly to a timer, because that can kind of be anxiety-provoking, I would say let's watch the clock And from 6 to 7 p.m. tonight, you can have your digital time, but there are certain things that we need to get accomplished first. But right. You know, to your first question, which I love to answer, is how do we get parents to get their children there, even to that point, without nagging them and without feeling like they have to threaten or bribe? Because those are things that we resort to when we're feeling really frustrated as adults with the children in our life who aren't following the directions that we're giving. So I just want to throw out some reasons that that's happening. What's going on is your children do things, really want attention from you, and kids will do anything they can to get attention, whether it's positive attention or negative attention. So those threats and bribes are really allowing kids to get attention that they're craving, and it's not always bringing out the best in you as a parent. And kids also really thrive on a power struggle, which is fascinating research that I've done, but they really do kind of like having some power. So what we want to do is have kids feel empowered, but have them be empowered about reading instead of having the struggle be about the video games, let's say. So, for example, one thing that I talk to parents about is what kind of empowering words can we use to help children cooperate in the moment? How can we help children cooperate? And some things we talk about would be, when you want your child to read independently, you can say things like, we're going on a car trip. So the first hour of this car trip will be a screen-free zone. So let's choose some exciting books for you to read together during that time. And then after that, we can use the screens. Or, I know you'd love to play your video games today, and you can do that for an hour after you read. So can I help you choose a book off your shelf that you'd like?
Right.
And, or do you want to do that yourself? You can give them a choice. So let me help you. Or if you're ready to do that by yourself, that's awesome too. But the choice is not read or video games. The choice is I help you find a book or you find a book on your own.
Right. So you're not giving them the screen's not even in the equation at that point.
Right, at that point. Exactly.
Right. Well, that's great. So where do our listeners find more information about the methods you're talking about and the tips?
Sure. Well, I've got some great blog articles that I've just put out. Two of my favorites. One is about stopping nagging and threatening and getting your child off the video games and into books. And I have another one that I'd love to share with readers about creating a reader-friendly home. So how do you get your home to really support reading without you even having to talk about reading all the time? And those are on my website at innovativereading.com. And there's a blog tab, and parents can go there to read lots of good, quick, actionable blog articles. And I also have my own radio show podcast there, too, that they can play right off the website. And it's just me, 10-minute snippets of good tips and tricks that they can do at home. So I'd love to share that out. Again, it's innovativereading.com.
Wonderful. And we'll put that on the Mom Talk Radio website next week. And then you do have a bit.ly. It's bit.ly/stopnagging. Is that the same thing, or is there different content on that website?
That will take
them
right
website?
To that article on stopping nagging. So if people are really interested in just jumping right to that article, because it's, again, full of actionable tips. And I do give a free download on 15 phrases to say to your child so he'll read without threatening, nagging, or yelling. Free download. If they go to that bit.ly link, they can get it right there.
That's great. So awesome advice again as we go into the holiday break, and of course anytime after school or whenever. And again, just to encourage more reading, and do it without struggling and nagging and yelling at them. So that's awesome advice. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. Carol. And when we come back on Mom Talk Radio, we'll close the show talking to Diana Kellyan. She is the author of the cookbooks, The Recipe Hacker Confidential, which is coming out at the end of this month, and The Recipe Hacker. I love it. I can't wait to talk to her. Stay with us. On this last segment of Mom Talk Radio, I am going to talk about recipes and cooking and hacking recipes, actually. We'll find out what that means and how to get started hacking recipes with Diana Kellyan. And I did say your name is Kellyan. I apologize, Diana. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much. And don't worry, everyone mispronounces my name.
There's a lot of vowels in there and only three consonants. So you have written a book called The Recipe Hacker, and now you're following up with your second book, The Recipe Hacker Confidential, which is going to be out in stores December 27th, but is already out on Amazon, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Well, congratulations, two cookbooks. And the website is called realhealthyrecipes.com. So tell us what it means to hack a recipe.
Well, to hack a recipe is basically you're going to take a recipe that's a traditional comfort food recipe, and we're going to take out all of the naughty ingredients that really make it unhealthy. So we're going to be left with a recipe that tastes really good, but it's going to help you lose weight, it's going to give you more energy, and that is what it means to hack a recipe, and that's what I got started doing on my blog, and that kind of blossomed into a couple of cookbooks.
Wonderful. I think I'm going to actually send the link to my husband because I would really love this. Because moms are always trying to cook healthy, and it's sometimes right. You look at a recipe, and I would never know how to hack a recipe. I mean, because I really don't really know how to cook. So I do know how to cook. I'm kidding, but I don't like it. But anyway, right. So when did you get started hacking the recipes, and where did the ideas for the cookbooks come from?
I started this whole hacking idea in 2009, and at the time I didn't call it hacking. I was just in the kitchen trying to make healthy food for my kids, and actually it was my husband one day, he looks over at me as I'm like, you know, turning vegetables into noodles and creating like this hamburger casserole that's, you know, just made with fresh food as opposed to from a box, and he's like, you know what, you're like a hacker. And so that's where the term came from. But yeah, it's I'm a mom. It's me in the kitchen getting healthy food, you know, to be attractive and appealing to my children. And that's where it all started. And I just like to share this with others and, you know, kind of figured out that I have a little bit of a knack for it. And it's a challenge. So it's something that it's really fun.
Great. That's awesome. So the Recipe Hacker Confidential, it contains how many recipes?
There's just over 120 recipes in the new book.
That's great.
Yeah, and it's breakfast, main dishes, sides, and then, of course, dessert, because we all need a good, healthy dessert.
Oh, yes, we do. Amen to that. So when you talk about hacking, though, so you basically give the recipe as it is, as you said, kind of stripped down into healthy ingredients for your family. What about the purchase of those ingredients? Do you obviously give advice and tips for the meal planning and the grocery shopping?
Definitely. And actually, that's something that I've done a lot online. In my book, I do give kind of like overall tips, like here's how you can plan your week and here's how, you know, this is how I do it. This is how I sit down, you know, on the weekends and I plan the whole week and I do my grocery shopping. But I found that that's the biggest challenge for people to really make healthy eating a permanent thing is that it takes a lot of planning. And so what I've actually done online is created a software where you basically drag and drop the recipes that you're going to make into a calendar, and it gives you the recipe and then it generates your grocery list. And this, honestly, I made it for myself because I needed it, because it was just such a time-consuming thing to sit there and, you know, not only make the grocery list, but then, you know, when you make your grocery list yourself, you've just got, like, this long list of stuff, and it's, like, things that are all over the store. So it's like, okay, what if this could be organized by section? So this is, you know, just a passion of mine that I've been working on for a couple of years, and this is something that my readers, you know, find on my website and sign up for, and they're using it, they love it, and it's helping their family, you know, actually implement these healthy eating habits.
I absolutely love that. Love it. I mean, I can go on your website and I can basically, like you said, drag and drop a menu and then get a grocery list out of that.
Exactly.
Organized.
Exactly, and you can save your favorites and just make it really easy. Every time you come back, you know, if you already know there's certain ones you want to make this week, or, you know, I'll dazzle you with new recipes and you can be adventurous.
Nice, nice, excellent, excellent job. And you've got the pulse on busy moms. This is perfect.
I'm definitely a busy mom myself. So
yeah, no doubt, and especially with two successful cookbooks. So congratulations. Again, it's called The Recipe Hacker Confidential. Where can our listeners find it?
RealHealthyRecipes.com. Right now, they can actually get the book from my site, and they could also get it on Amazon, and it's going to be in stores nationwide on December 27th.
Congratulations again, and best of luck. Thank you so much for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. Have a great week.